Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
You probably wonder why I moved the pulpit down here. I just like to be closer to you and not to be lifted up. The Lord is to be lifted up, not me. And so I like this. I'll just share a little story. I know you may not like that I tell too many stories. My son will tell you I talk too much, and so will my wife. But at any rate, I just want to share a story about building the Cameron Family Center. And as I was the director there, we were beginning our plans and everything, and they had an architect draw up the plans. And if you've been there, you'll notice it's a three-story building, but it started out to be a fourth-story building. And the way it was designed was that the administration was going to be on the top floor, and then the other three floors would be used for the residency. And I just really felt convicted not to do that. What we did was that the administration was on the first floor, and that's where the dining room and all that other stuff is, and the guests are above you. And that was really the way I felt like it ought to be, that we would honor our guests and that they would get the best view. And so I would take people oftentimes that would be coming to the mission and do a tour, and I would take them to the third floor, the top floor, and I would bring them into one of the guest bedrooms and show them the view outside the city. And it was absolutely beautiful. And you know, I would talk about the fact that what it would be like if you're homeless and you've been beat down for years and you're just told that you're not worth anything, to be elevated up. And that's what God does in our lives, right? We've been beat down in so many ways. He just elevates us up. And so at any rate, it's my joy to come and speak to you today. I very much enjoy coming here. You're a wonderful congregation. I love your music. Not very often I get to hear an organ and piano anymore. And so it was a delight too, and the worship leading and everything. It was just very, very wonderful. I enjoy coming here. And I know a lot of you aren't here, as you're here, but as far as other people, they may be out doing combining and doing all the kinds of things that need to be done. And praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that ability, and praise the Lord that the rain came and the crops grew. I praise the Lord for that. You know, today I'm going to be talking about, you probably saw in the title, it says seven reasons you can trust God. So one of the questions you probably wonder is, why, Jim? Is there only seven reasons? Well, this is what I thought. See, I thought seven was kind of a perfect number. And it's mentioned in the Bible several times. I really thought about 40, okay? 40 days and 40 nights, 40 days in the wilderness and so on. But I thought instead of making a 45-minute message, it might be 7 hours. So I thought, I wouldn't have anybody here left, so I chose seven. So that's kind of the way I wanted to start today. And you know, it's just amazing how God reinforces to you that you chose the right topic, that He led you in the right place. And so today you see the primary text is Proverbs 3:5-6. I'm going to read that in just a minute. But so as I'm reading my email this morning, early this morning, I actually get up at 3:15 in the morning on Sundays to pick up FedEx pilots at 3:50. Okay. But at any rate, I read my email and I'm signed on to it to a website called pray.com, and they send you the daily devotions, and guess what? It was that. So you say, as a secretary, you just work with me, Vicki Chermontico, she used to say, that ain't no quinky dink, you know? And it really isn't. And so it's amazing, and as I start here, you'll see where I'm going. So I say it's a privilege. It really is a privilege to be here. You know, I love just coming here. I love the congregation here and the simple way things are here. It's not complicated, and I just love that. You know, I'm using I have paper, and then I'm trying to use a device, and sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't. But at any rate, As I got preparing for this message, there's a song, some of you may have heard it, a lot of you probably haven't. It's on Christian radio today, and it's called A Trust in God, and it's done by Elevated Worship, I believe is the one that, by Elevation that does that. And I just really love the song, and there's a lots of music about trusting in God, and there really is. But at any rate, I probably sang that song 50 times in the last 2 weeks. It just spoke to my heart. And so I was asking Joe, he goes to a different church than I go to, my son does. And I asked him, I said, hey, have they ever sang that song in your church? And he says, yeah, we do it every now and then. So he turns on their online service on the way up here, and guess what? They're singing it. And again, I say it's no coincidence. Well, I do want to say that as I think about the song and I think about us saying it, and you mentioned it in worship, it's easy to say really that I trust in God. And sometimes we walk through things that are very, very difficult. Very difficult. And it's easy to trust God when the family is doing well. It's easy, if you will, to trust God when you're on that mountaintop. You know, I love to be on the mountaintop. I think we all do. And when I say that, I mean, it's just a time in which I'm just really close to Jesus. Everything is just really going Jesus' way. And I just feel that closeness. But it's difficult to trust in God when things are difficult. When you get a note from the bank that says you have a negative amount in your checking account and you're not sure where that money's going to come from, it's difficult when you have a health struggle. As an example, some of you know about my wife and about the struggles we've been going through for 7 years as she needed a new heart. The Lord provided was called an LVAD. It's a mechanical heart that keeps her alive, but it's not easy to accept sometimes, you know, those difficulties that are happening. But we know we can trust Him, but it's difficult. I don't know if any of you have seen, anybody has seen the new movie, I Can Only Imagine Part 2. Has anybody seen that? Well, if you get a chance, watch it. And in that, he's going to sing one of my favorite songs, and it's called Even If. And so I want to share a little bit of that song because I think it really has to do with our trusting in God. And he's just, you know, he's a singer and songwriter, and he's just trying to say, I've walked through some things. And so this is what it says. It says, they say it only takes a little faith to move a mountain. Good thing. A little faith is all I have right now. But God, when you choose to leave mountains unmovable, give me the strength to be able to sing, it is well with my soul. I know you're able and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand, but even if you don't, my hope is in you alone. I know the sorrow and I know the hurt would go away if you just say the word, but even if you don't, my hope is you alone. You've been faithful, you've been good all of my days, Jesus. I will cling to you, come what may, because I know you're able, I know you can. And so he's just really sharing in this saying that there's just real things that make life hard sometimes. He knows he can trust God, but it's hard. I'm not going to tell the story since a lot of you haven't seen the movie. I don't want to give it up for you. It's a true story. But I won't share anything, okay? but I say if you have a chance to watch it and listen to it. But when we're going through these struggles, that's when trust becomes more than just a word. It really becomes a reality, and that's when it becomes faith. You know, faith is really believing in things that we can't see, you know, that's unseen. And as we think about trust, that is something that oftentimes is unseen. What happens is that as we trust in Him, our faith in Him grows. You know, I spend a fair amount of time on the road here in Montana. I think I probably shared a little bit the last time I was here. Actually, I I was here in March. I had just had an accident with my Toyota Prius, and it got totaled. I drove a rental van up here. It ended up getting a cracked windshield on the way back or something. I didn't know it got cracked, but at any rate, that was another $500, you know what I'm saying? But at any rate, I ended up buying, it's out here now, it's a 2021 Toyota Highlander. So since, I think it was about the 5th of April, I put on 18,000 miles on that vehicle. Sometimes I feel like a truck driver, okay? You know, I mean, I probably drive as many miles or more sometimes. But anyway, what I want to talk about that and to share about that is I get a lot of people to ride with me, and sometimes it's long distances. Like I was up to, I went to Glacier twice this year. I was down to Columbia three times. That's by Billings. And one of the joys to me is when my passenger falls asleep. You know, because it's telling me that passenger trusts me. You know, he's not like, okay, is he gonna miss this curve, or what about passing this vehicle, or whatever? Does he know what he's doing? Has he got enough room? I mean, when you go to sleep when somebody's driving, you got trust. You got trust. And you know, I was just thinking about that as I think about the relationship to God. And you know, God is at the wheel of our life, if you will. He's the driving force in our life. And we don't know oftentimes what's coming around at the next corner. I mean, sometimes it's straight in Montana, and you can go straight down the road and you can see forever. But there's sometimes you can't see around the corner. In our walk with God and our trust with God, we realize that He's got it, and we don't have to see what's around the bend. You know, even if it might be difficult in our life, we know that He's got our best interest in heart. We just know that. So I just wanted to share that as a picture, because you know, you can't necessarily see what that driver sees, but you have faith that the driver does. You have trust in Him. You know, we don't know what will happen tomorrow, but God does. We don't know what's around the next curve, but God does. We don't know some situation in our life, how it's going to work out, but God does. So Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, you wondered if I'd ever get here. The scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, not some of your heart, with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. I think it's one of the first memory verses I learned as a child. You know, it's a great verse, and it speaks to us all through the Bible. Notice what it doesn't say. He doesn't say, understand everything. He says, trust me. He says, trust me. He doesn't say, figure out the whole road. He says, follow me. He doesn't say, I'll explain everything before I ask you to take another step. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. So this morning I'm going to go along with seven reasons for you to trust God. And the very first one is, you can trust God because He knows the way. You can trust God because He knows the way. As we think about Abraham, God came to Abraham and essentially said, leave what you know and go where I will show you. And that's remarkable. Abraham didn't receive a detailed itinerary. I think about our life today, and you know, I use Google Maps or Apple Maps or whatever, and it shows me the way. But Abraham trusted God. He trusted that, I mean, he's going to leave his homeland. He trusted God that He was going to show him the way. And Abraham had to decide, though, do I trust Him enough to move when I don't know exactly where He's taking me? We all go through that in our lives, you know. I mean, Abraham's our example in the Bible, but I think of other things. I think about me as an example. When I took over as the director of the mission, I knew nothing about running a rescue mission. Nothing. I was the person least likely to succeed. But God doesn't care about your ability, right? He cares about your moldability. You know, He's going to transform you. And so we just have to trust Him that He's going to take us. You know, as I talk about building the Cameron Family Center, I told my board, I said, if you hired me to be a fundraiser, you need to fire me. Because I know nothing about raising money, but I raised $9.5 million through God to build that facility. When I say me, it was a combined effort. We raised that money. I didn't have that ability, but God said, this is what you're supposed to do. He gave me a vision for what was supposed to happen. That's what God does in our life. He gives us that vision as we trust Him. And that's where, some of us are asking that same question that Abraham asked. Do I trust enough to do what you're asking me to do? That's where some of us live. We want God to show us the entire plan. We say, Lord, show me what's going to happen next month. Show me how this problem is going to work out. Show me what you're doing with my children, what you're doing with my spouse, what you're doing with my health. We want to know, and we want to know now. And sometimes God's answer is, you don't need to know all that yet. You just need to know me. You need to know me. God doesn't always illuminate the entire highway. Sometimes He gives us enough light for the next step. I was thinking about, this is before I had my own taxi service. I was driving for Uber. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. I get a call to go from Great Falls to home, and it's a blizzard. It is so terrible out there. I mean, I literally had to stop on the road 4 or 5 times to kind of let the snow clear so that I could see where I was going. But I trusted God that He was going to take me there. And when I got to home to pick up the people, they started laughing. And so I asked them why they were laughing. They said, 3 other drivers in SUVs turned them down, and I showed up in a Prius. And why is that? Because I had trust that God was going to take me. If I didn't, I'd have gone home. You know, I wouldn't have gone on a journey. I'd have said, nope, I'm not going. But I went because I trusted God to take it. Now, that doesn't mean I need to be foolish, but I need to listen to God and trust Him when He's called me to go there. When you don't know the way, trust the one who does. This is worth writing down. When you don't know the way, trust the one who does. Trust the one who does. The first one we said is that He knows the way. And the second point is you can trust God because His character never changes. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise the Lord. Aren't we grateful for that? That even though our world, that we look at our world and it looks like it's going nuts, you know, and we wonder how we're going to make it through this. We know that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He's got a plan. Everything around us changes. Our circumstances change. Our health changes. Our finances change. Relationships change. And governments change. Technology changes so fast, about the time I figure something out, somebody updates it and moves all the buttons. Have you had that happen to you? My wife is always complaining. Now, I'm the techie guy in the family. I'm the nerd, if you will. And so my wife comes to me and she'll say, where did they put that Google search bar? It ends up in some other place than where it was. And I said, hand me your phone, I'll fix it for you. But they do that, you know, it just gets moved around because somebody's whim, they decide to, and so it makes our life difficult. It does make our life difficult. So our life is changing. But God was faithful yesterday. God is faithful today, and God will be faithful tomorrow. Praise the Lord. You know, God doesn't wake up in a bad mood. God doesn't forget His promises. God doesn't become less loving because we're having a difficult day. God doesn't stop being God because our circumstances have been confusing. That's important because our faith is not ultimately based on what God does. Our faith is based on who God is. I'll say that again. Our faith is based on what God is, not on what God does. If my trust depends entirely upon my circumstances, my trust will rise and fall with circumstances. But if my trust is entered in God's character, I've got something solid. When I can't understand his hand, I can trust his heart. When I can't understand his hand, I can trust his heart. In other words, even though I don't know where he's taking me, I know what his heart is for me. His heart tells me he has plans not to harm me, but to prosper me and give me hope for a future, and that's what he's got for you. We know that's his heart. And so even though it may seem confusing and everything, we know his heart. And so when I can't understand his hand, I can trust his heart. When I don't understand what he's doing, I can remember who he is. He is good. He is faithful. He is loving. He is holy. He is merciful, and he does not change. So we know we can trust that he knows the way. We know that we can trust his character never changes. And the third one is you can trust God because he's been faithful before. He's been faithful before. Sometimes when you're facing today's problem, the best thing you can do is remember yesterday's faithfulness. One of the reasons when I was going to the course of study to be a pastor, one of the things that they encourage you to do is to journal. And so you write down things that happened during your day, how God answered prayer, in addition to asking God for things, right? But one of the reasons for that is so I can look back on how God's answered prayers in my life and in others. David did this, not the scripture, but that he remembered yesterday's faithfulness. David did this. Before David faced Goliath, he remembered the lion and the bear. He essentially said, God helped me then, God will help me now.
Yes.
Maybe we need to do that more often. Think back over your life. How many things have you worried about that God eventually brought you through? How many nights did you wonder how you were going to make it, and yet here you are? I remember being at the mission, and we would get ready as an example for our Thanksgiving dinner, and we gave out a bunch of turkeys and so on, you know, to families that needed them. And so you wondered, should we go buy whatever it was? Should we go buy biscuits, or should we buy yams, or whatever, or is it going to be given? And always, always God answered prayer. Always. It might not be until 10 minutes before you needed it. We know that God's never early, and he's never late. So we know. I don't know he's never early, but at any rate, he's not late. He knows what we need, and so he provides for us. You made it through things you once thought you couldn't survive. You walk through valleys you didn't think you'd ever get out of. You face problems you didn't know how to solve, and somehow God's grace met you there. I can think of many circumstances, but I can think about being out hunting, and I'll just say that if you've ever been lost, it's easy to trust God, because that's the only hope, right? But I've been there, and I've wondered, how am I going to get out of this? I remember going on a time when we as a family took our Blazer at the time and towed a camper behind us. And my son Bobby actually rolled that vehicle. And, you know, you just wonder, okay, how did God bring me through that? I mean, you know, we should have been dead. It should have rolled the Blazer as well as the trailer. Our trailer was on its side. The propane tanks are busted open, you know, and everything. And we had actually turned the area there. It goes from four lanes down to two lanes. And so my son is actually going over to the second lane, and he loses control. And we do a complete 360 and hit nobody. You know, but our vehicle was destroyed. But, you know, I just think about that, and I realize his faithfulness. There are so many times that I could have been taken, you know, and, you know, so many times that he's protected me, that he's been faithful. You know, and again, I think about the fact that everything doesn't mean it turns out exactly the way you wanted it. We didn't want to be rolled in that vehicle. I didn't want my wife to have an LVAD, a mechanical heart pump, for the rest of her life. But I trusted God. I remember when Sharon was getting ready for the surgery. They have somebody that did interview you and ask you if you're afraid to die and so on. And she says, "I'm not afraid." She says, "If the Lord wants to take me out on the operating table, I'm ready to go. And if He wants to keep me on this journey, I'm ready to stay." You know, and that's trust. That is trust. I mean, she went into that surgery with that feeling. Even though, I'll just tell you, that it took 3 days before she uttered a word. You know, I mean, you just wondered whether she was going to make it or not. But we trusted the Lord. In fact, I can remember being around in her room and singing worship songs to her. You know, that's how you're trusted. You know that God is faithful. Maybe we need some spiritual markers in our life, places where we can say, "God met me there. God answered that prayer. God provided when I didn't know where provision would come from. God gave me strength when I thought I had none left. God carried me through that loss. God forgave me when I failed. God opened a door I could not open. And when the next storm comes, you look back and say, the God who was faithful then is still faithful now." Okay, we know that He knows the way. His character never changes. He's been faithful before. And number four is, you can trust God because He walks with you through the storm. He walks with you through the storm. Here's something important. Trusting God does not mean storms won't come. Jesus never promised us a storm-free life. In fact, the disciples once found themselves in a terrible storm where Jesus was right there with them. Think about that. They were exactly where Jesus had led them, and yet there was a storm. You know, there was a storm. Sometimes we mistakenly think, if I'm following God, everything should go smoothly, but that's not what Scripture says. Sometimes obedience leads us straight through a storm. The difference is that we won't go through it alone. Notice what I said there. We're going through the storm, and Jesus is going with us. Psalm 46 says, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble." Not merely after trouble, in trouble. Not merely trouble, after trouble, in trouble. God is present in the hospital room. God is present at the graveside. God is present when the phone rings with news you didn't want. God is present when the bank account is thin. God is present when you're lying awake at 2 o'clock in the morning wondering what you're going to do. Sometimes God calms the storm, and sometimes God calms His child, us, in the middle of the storm. Either way, He is there. And His presence means we will never face anything alone. That's one of the greatest truths we can have. Realizing that we're going through the struggle, but we are not going alone. Doesn't it make it a difference when you have somebody to be on a journey with you? You know, it really does. Number five. I'm going to try to wrap this up on time. I don't know what on time is, but I'll try. Number five says, He knows the way. We said He knows the way. His character never changes because He's been faithful before. He walks with you through the storm. And number five, you can trust God because He can bring good out of bad. God can bring good out of bad. Joseph's story is one of the clearest examples in Scripture. His brothers betrayed him. He was sold into slavery. He was falsely accused. He was thrown into prison. Years went by. In fact, they tried to arrange his death. If you had looked at Joseph's life in the middle of the story, you might have thought, where is God? But the story wasn't finished. Eventually, Joseph could look back and tell his brothers in Genesis 50:20, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." God intended it for good. Eventually, he could do that. Notice something. Joseph did not call evil good. What happened to him was wrong, but Joseph discovered that evil does not get the final word when God is involved. Romans 8:28 says that God works in all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. We can latch on to that. It doesn't say all things are good. Cancer isn't good. Betrayal isn't good. Grief isn't good. Sin isn't good. But God is so great that he can enter the broken pieces of our lives and accomplish something redemptive that we could never have imagined. Isn't that so true? You know, you've had situations in your life or you've seen it in somebody else's life. You say, how did that really bad turn into something really good? But God does that. Maybe you're in the middle of your story right now and the middle is confusing. Don't judge the whole chapter by what you're living in today. Don't judge the whole chapter by what you're living in today. God is still writing and working. Number six. Well, he said he knows the way. His character never changes. He has been faithful before. He walks with you through the storm. He can bring us out of the bad, and you can trust God because the cross proves his love. The cross proves his love. If you ever wonder whether God loves you, just look to the cross, right? Romans 8:32 says, he who would not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? He gives us all things. The cross settles the question of God's love. God didn't merely tell us he loved us. He showed us. He walked into our world and showed us. God became man for the purpose of walking in our world and showing us the plan of redemption. And by the way, that was God's plan all along. It really was. Jesus took our sin, carried our shame. Jesus died our death, and then on the third day, he rose again. The cross proves God's love. The empty tomb proves God's power. So when life gets difficult and the enemy whispers, God has forgotten you, look at the cross. When fear whispers, God doesn't care, look at the cross. When guilt says, God could never forgive me, look at the cross. Calvary is God's declaration. This is how much I love you. And if God loved us enough to give us Jesus, we can trust him with everything else. I want to say, when I was at the mission, some of you that had been in the men's shelter in those days, you'd have noticed an inscription back by the cross in there. And it said, don't let the things of the past ensnare you. Or don't stumble. No, I said wrong. Don't stumble over the things that are behind you. One of the things I see as I look at trust is that I can't worry about those things that have in my past. I can't change them. God tells us don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough problems of its own, right? And so we have that. We can't change the past. So don't worry over those things that are behind you. What God gives us today. Today is the day of salvation, he says. Today is the day of salvation. And I think we should always latch on to that. I know so many people that struggle because of their past. And they can't change it. But they can change today. And so that's one of the things he gives us. Okay, so we said he knows the way. Number seven, I'm starting to wrap it down a little bit. It's number seven, he knows the way. His character never changes. He has been faithful before. He walks with us through the storm. He can bring the good out of the bad. The cross brings his love. And number seven, you can trust God because he holds your future. God holds your future. Jesus said in John 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then Jesus said, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. Think about that. Our trust doesn't end at the cemetery. Our hope isn't merely that God will help us through another week. Our hope is eternal. Our hope is eternal. Jesus holds today, Jesus holds tomorrow, and Jesus holds eternity. I don't know what tomorrow holds, neither do you. But we do know who holds tomorrow. Because he holds tomorrow, we don't have to spend today being consumed by fear. Isn't that great? We don't have to live in fear because we know our future. We can live, we can love, we can serve, we can give, we can forgive, we can worship, we can obey, and we can trust. Because ultimately, for the child of God, the road leads home. So what does trust actually look like? So what do we do with all this? Trust isn't just something we talk about in church, is it? Trust becomes visible in our everyday life. Trust is praying when anxiety tells you to panic. Trust is obeying when you don't understand. Trust is forgiving when bitterness feels easier. Trust is giving when fear tells you to hold everything tightly. Trust is waiting when you would rather run ahead of God. Waiting. Trust is worshiping before you see the answer. Trust is waking up tomorrow morning and saying, God, I don't know what today holds, but I know you, so I'm putting today in your hands. Sometimes trust sounds very strong. I know my God will provide. But sometimes trust sounds tired. Sometimes trust is barely a whisper. Lord, I don't understand. I'm exhausted. I'm afraid. But I'm still here. Help me trust you. And I believe that's a prayer that God honors. I'd like to invite you today to trust Him in everything. So let me ask you a personal question. What are you having trouble trusting God with today? Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your children or grandchildren. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's loneliness. Maybe you're grieving somebody you love. Maybe you're carrying a decision and you simply don't know what to do. Maybe you're tired, really tired. And you've been trying to hold everything together. Listen again to the Word of God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not part of your heart, but your whole heart. God isn't asking you to understand everything today. He's asking you to trust Him. And maybe your prayer this morning needs to be very simple. Lord, I trust you. I trust you with my family. I trust you with my health. I trust you with my finances. I trust you with the things I cannot fix. I trust you with a prayer that hasn't been answered yet. I trust you with my past. I trust you with today. And Lord, I trust you with tomorrow. And perhaps somebody here needs to even take a greater step. You've tried to run your life. You've carried your own sin. You've tried to be good enough. And today Jesus is inviting you to stop trying to save yourself. And simple, trust Him. Trust the Savior who died for you. Trust the Savior who rose for you. Trust the Savior who loves you. Trust the Savior who will forgive you. Trust the Savior who will walk with you. Trust that the Savior that will never leave you. So as we close today, I just want to close in prayer. Lord, we just thank you for your message to us today, Lord. We thank you for how you've given us so many ways that you've shown your faithfulness to us. We talked about seven today, Lord, but I'm sure each of us could highlight many, many more ways that you've shown us your trust. Help us just to do that. Help us not to try to do things on our own, but Lord, to seek ye first. And you'll answer all those things for us, Lord, that you care about us. You care about providing for all of our needs. You care about our health. You care about our spouses. You care about our finances. Lord, you just ask us to lift it up to you and to trust you and count on you to answer your prayer in the way that is best for us, because you have our best in mind. Lord, we thank you. I just ask it as we go today, Lord, you just bless each one. Bless those that aren't here. Lord, bless the ones that might be sharing online now or later. Lord, we just ask that you just touch their lives. And Lord, I thank you. In Jesus' name.